We're going to see and study today's Jesus' instructions to his disciples concerning the Holy Spirit. And our passage can be found in just the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. Last week, remember, we talked about, John chapter 14, we looked at Jesus' instructions concerning a place, and he told them how he was going to go and prepare them a place, trying to lift up their spirits, having just spoken to them about how they were going to forsake him and all would flee. Now he's trying to encourage them. He talks to them a little bit concerning prayer there in verses 13 and 14, and in reality, he's going to go on with that that thought as we continue our study. And but notice the phrase there in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. We're going to see that repeated as we go down through these ensuing verses. We're going to be looking there, therefore, at the events for these events for the next few weeks that are only going to occur here in the Gospel of John. We're going to go through chapter 14. We're going to go through chapter 15 and 16 and get over to John chapter 17. So we'll be settling down just here in the gospel as we're doing harmony. So let's have some Lord's instructions concerning the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 15. And the question we ask is, hey, what does Jesus say his disciples will do if they love him? Well, he says, look, if you love me, he'll keep my commandments. So his disciples' love for him would be seen in their obedience to his commandments. Now, flash back up with me to verse 14, notice the if in verse 14. If they do what Jesus says, what's going to be the result? Well, he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And again, watch as we go down through here, because he's going to speak of that again. Now, what does Jesus say he will pray and ask the Father to give them? Because he just talked to them about them praying, right? Now he says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter. Now, this word comforter, four times we can find it. And once it's even translated advocate. And I show you where it's found and basically just in the writings of who? John. We can find it in the first letter of John in the back of your Bible. But Parakaleto or Parakaletos, meaning intercessory, consoler, comforter, advocate, one who pleaded a cause or presented a case. And, of course, later verses are going to indicate the role of the Holy Spirit. But now he's just mentioning that he's going to send to them the comforter. And why is this necessary? Because he's what? He's leaving, all right? He's going to go to be with the Father. And so he's sending them this comforter. And but it's kind of interesting. Both the Father and Jesus, they were involved in sending the Comforter and the Holy Spirit. And that's even seen here as we just started. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. I'm going to pray, and he's going to give you another Comforter. So you see, both Son and Father are involved in the coming of the Holy Spirit. What about 16, a latter part of it? Why will the Father give them the Comforter? That he may abide with you forever. Now, we know that in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God would come upon certain individuals, whether it was Saul for a time to perform services for the Lord, or who's another one we know? Mighty Samson. All right, the Spirit would come upon him and be with him for a time. But now there's going to be a difference comes in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we read that the Spirit's going to come, but he's going to reside within us. And I give you a couple of references, Romans 8:9, 1 Corinthians 12:12, and Ephesians. Well, let's just take a look at Ephesians. If you have your Bible, you can just listen, or you can turn with me to Ephesians 1, and we can take one reference here. 1 verse 13 says this, talking about trusting in Jesus, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed and ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, we've got the Spirit. We've had the Spirit until even our body is redeemed. So, praise the Lord. Now, back to our text here on our sheet. We ask the next question. What does Jesus call this comforter? Look at verse 17, the very first part. Even the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Now, John 14, 17. You saw that, but now look at John 15, 26. John 15, 26. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So here it is, the Comforter and the Spirit of truth. And of course, it's the Spirit who leads us unto all truth. All right? Any thoughts yet on the first sheet before we press on? Or you want to add a P.S. or anything? Well, then let's take a look at sheet number two. Who does Jesus say cannot receive the Comforter? Who can't receive it? Yeah, whom the world cannot receive. And I mentioned here on your sheet, only those God has chosen to be quickened by His Spirit can receive the Spirit. Now, we see the work of the Father in quickening. We can at least look at John's references because that's close. We got our Bible open on the John. Look at John 5. John 5, 21 says this. John 5, 21. He says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even the soul quickeneth whom he will. We can say the Father quickens the dead, raises up the physical dead. We see the Son quickeneth those whom he will. Now, also look at John 6. John 6, just flip over a page. John 6, 63 says this. He says, the Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, it profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. And we talked about how a man, a woman, child is quickened by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and the Son of God, all of them being involved. 1 Timothy, I'm going to read 1 Timothy concerning the Father. He says this. 6:13 says this, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Jesus Christ who, but the phrase that I want you to look at, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. And so we see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all involved in this matter of quickening. Now, look at 17c. Why does Jesus say the world cannot receive the Comforter? Because it what? Seeth him not. Neither what? Knoweth him. And a passage that probably come to your mind as you were thinking about this is 1 Peter. So let's, 1 Peter. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. It says here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He says they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're not spiritually discerned. Excuse me, because they are spiritually discerned. And he that is spiritual, he judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But the fact that the natural man does not have the spirit. Therefore, he cannot spiritually discern them. Let's look while we're right here. Let's go back up to verse 10. But God revealed them unto us. How? By his spirit. For the spirit, it searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, say he's got the spirit of man, which is in him. Okay, same thing. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Natural man cannot receive them because he doesn't have the Spirit of God in him. And you have to have, possess the Spirit in order to understand spiritual things. And he's saying, well, this is why the world cannot receive the Comforter, because they don't see him. They don't know him. Now, why does Jesus say his disciples can receive the Comforter? But ye, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And that was the passage that we just looked at in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. There's also another one in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. What else does Jesus say he will do for believers? Verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, there's some dispute as about when is this going to happen. Is it going to, this going to happen as resurrection, or is this going to happen at the coming of Pentecost? So he's saying, okay, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you in the aspect of coming to you, sending the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, or the aspect of his, at the time of his resurrection and Pentecost. So what does Jesus say was going to happen concerning the world? Yet, in a little while, and the world seeth me no more. And, of course, now we know he's talking about his what? His death, yeah, his death, burial, and his, of course, resurrection. But what does Jesus say was going to happen concerning believers? He says, but ye see me. Why? Because I live, ye shall live also. Now, probably the first mention of this is back about Lazarus. Back in John chapter 11, we read these words. He says, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And, of course, another reference is there in that great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. I might as well read that to you. I think we got plenty of time. 1 Corinthians 15. And here in that great resurrection chapter, we got a couple of verses we'll look at. He says it like this. Verse 20 and 21, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In Christ, he is the first fruits. Those who are in Christ, they will follow him. As he's been resurrected, likewise they shall be resurrected. And on the bottom there it says, what does Jesus say they will know at that day? At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Again, some question of whether this is at his actual resurrection or his ascension, which, but that he says, on that day or at that day, you're going to know that I am in my Father and that ye are in me and I am in you. Any thoughts on page 2 or question or addition that you'd like to add to what we just looked at, page 2? All right. Look at the next sheet then. Who again does Jesus say loves him? Well, he says this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Ah, he it is that loveth me. And of course, that goes back to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now he's saying, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, man, he's the one that loves me. All right, so one of the premier evidences that we can demonstrate that we love our Lord is that we do what? Keep his commandments. Now, who does Jesus say will love them because they love Jesus? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. If you love me, my Father loves you. Now, watch this, though. Who does Jesus say he will love? And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And I mentioned to you, here's what we got here. We got this sowing and reaping principle. We love, therefore we are what? Loved. If we love the Lord, the Father loves us. The aspect, if we love the Lord, he loves us. So there is that sowing and reaping. And I just mentioned this. Faith results in obedience. You know, if we believe, we're going to obey. First of all, trust him. And then second of all, obey him. That's what faith does. Who now addresses the Lord? Well, it says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. So who was this? Some of the research I found that many believe was Thaddeus. All right? It was, had a surname Judas. Matthew 10:3, Mark 3:18. Now, what does Judas ask of Jesus in verse 22? Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to be visible to us but not visible to the world? All right, now remember, who is he going to send? How he's going to send a, yeah. So he's thinking more about what? An outward aspect. The Lord is speaking about an inward aspect. So he's asking this question. Well, how are you going to manifest yourself unto us, but you're not going to manifest yourself unto the world? And of course, how could he manifest himself to his disciples and not to the world if he was to be king? Because remember, the disciples, they're still thinking, man, he's coming to Jerusalem. He's going to come, and he's going to what? He's coming as king, man. He's reigning. So they still have that thought in their mind. And how could he be sitting on the throne as king and the world not know this? Well, who did Jesus tell Judas he would manifest himself unto? Well, Jesus answered, he said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. Well, we've heard that, haven't we? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So there is a spiritual sense that we not only have the Spirit of God within us, but we have the Father and Son. He says, I'm coming, we're going to make our abode with him. Again, reaping and sowing and reaping. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will all abide in the believer. And let me just read to you Romans 8. Romans 8. He says, verses 9 through 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, at least we got the aspect of the spirit in Christ, all right? All right, look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Ministering now to the churches, the Word of God. 3:20. All right, here's what he says about the church at Laodicea. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Aspect of the Lord being with us. Now, so this is the comforting that the Lord is trying to impart to them, that he's not going to leave them alone, even though physically in the aspect that he's going to be with the Father in heaven. There is a sense that spiritually they will know his presence. Look at the very bottom of page 3. Who does Jesus tell Judas would not obey him? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So those that love him, they're going to keep his sayings. Those who do not love him will not keep his sayings. All right? So pretty good test, isn't it? Page 4. Who did Jesus say his words came from? The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So according to John 12, and also John 14, the Lord speaks whose words? His Father's words. He and the Son are one. He speaks the Father's words. When did Jesus say he had spoken his Father's words? These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, so while he was with them, when he was speaking his Father's words. And obviously, that's because he and the Father are one. Now, question I ask you here. Did they all understand all of his words? No. They understood some of his words some of the time, but they didn't understand all his words all of the time. Another question, or another statement. We need to pray for the Spirit to give us understanding of his words. And a great prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just take a look at that prayer, keeping your hand right there. But this is a great prayer. Of course, Ephesians has a number of them, but this is one of the nice prayers. Praying for just the Spirit to lead you into all understanding. He begins up in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, what was he praying? Well, first of all, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Then he says this, verse 18. Yeah, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What? That they may know what's the hope of his calling. What's the riches of his glory, of his inheritance? And what's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? There's three what's there. That they might know this whole aspect about their calling, their salvation. From the penalty of sin, that they might know what the riches of the glory, about the power of being preserved unto heaven, the inheritance. And of course then, what's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty powers. In other words, the power to be victorious over his present sin, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that same resurrection power. He says, that's the kind of power that you have. But emphasis I want you to see here is it's a prayer that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, understanding. And he's writing to the church at Ephesus. That's what we need. That's what we need to be praying for, that the Spirit of God would give us understanding to his words. Verse 26, who does Jesus say the Comforter was? Well, now he said he was what? Spirit of truth, didn't he? Now watch what he says. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, he makes no mistake about it. This Comforter that he's sending, yeah, this Spirit of truth, is none other than what? The Holy Ghost. And who does Jesus say will send the Comforter? Whom the Father will send in my name. See how it's all linked together? And what work does Jesus say he will perform? Well, he shall teach you all things. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Listen as I read to you John chapter 20. And he says this in verse 9, John 20, verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. The Holy Spirit is going to give them all what he had said to them when he comes. He's going to remind them that he spoke to them about this whole matter. And what does Jesus promise to leave them? Oh, he says, peace I leave you. Anything else? Yeah, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Now, hey, where are we? Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You see what he's done? He's brought us right back. He is still trying to have a spirit of peace upon them. And part of that peace is not only knowing that he's going to prepare them a place, but let them know that until he comes back, there is a Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who abides with them. Now, the word trouble can also be seen in John 14 in peace, talking about, as you can see, the peace comes from salvation. And we're not to be troubled, but at peace, trusting in the Lord and his word. Let me just show you Philippians 4, because that's kind of interesting. Because Paul there is talking about how you can have the peace of God and you can have the God of peace. Emphasis about prayer here in this passage too. And they were being troubled because there's some fightings going on between some women in the church, according to verse 2, and he's trying to encourage them to have peace. But he says in verse 4, and he says, all right, rejoice. There ought to be praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, praise. Then he says, let your moderation, there's got to be patience, be known unto all men, the Lord's at hand. Then he says, pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's going to happen here, all right, when you and I practice praising and patience and prayer? Well, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have the peace of God. Then he talks about what we ought to be thinking on, what we ought to be pondering on in verses 8. And then he comes to verse 9. Here's what you need to practice. Those things which you've just learned, okay? Praise, patience, prayer, ponder. Practice these things. And what's the result? Well, the result is the God of peace shall be with you. So there's the aspect of having the peace of God and having the God of peace as found there in Philippians. So we're not to be troubled, but at peace. And that comes by trusting in the Lord and trusting in his word. And then on the bottom here, page 4, what does Jesus say they had heard about him? Verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. He's already told them that in the earlier verses of chapter 14. And why does Jesus say they should rejoice with those words? If ye love me, ye would rejoice. Why? Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So what's he indicating? What's one of the reasons why they should be happy with those words that he said, that I go away, I'm going to come again. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than me. The blessing is what? Knowing they should be rejoicing with Jesus, because he's going to go where? Yeah, he's going home. He's going to go be with his Father. And of course, sometimes when we're thinking about a Christian, we have to have a spirit where we got to be able to let them go, and the idea of being thankful, because they go to be with the Father, which is wow, nothing can be better than to continue living with me. Well, yeah, maybe a little something better, and that is, of course, to be with the Father. Did they have a perfect love for Jesus? No, because they didn't obey him in what? All things. Why should they be rejoicing? We just talked about that. Where would Jesus be exalted? He's going to be exalted with his resurrection and going to the Father. Now, I mentioned on the top of page 5, how was the Father greater than Jesus? Because he just said he was greater than him. Not in the essence, because they're the same in essence. Not in the aspect of purpose, because their purpose is the same, the redemption of mankind. But in the aspect of glory, the Father was in glory. The Lord is going to be with the Father in glory. Let's take a look at John chapter 7, because we're right here in John, so we can just look at that. John 7, 39. He says, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. All right? Now, think about that. Go over to chapter 12, John 12, verse 16. John 12, 16 says this. So there, the Son was not yet glorified. So that's why the Father's greater. He says in 12:16, these things understood not the disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. All right? When he was glorified. And I think I got one more. Yes. There was verse 23 there too that mentioned that. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then chapter 13, verse 32. Well, we'll read 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify himself. And he is talking about this whole aspect about his death, burial, his resurrection, and ascension unto the Father. All right. So, why was Jesus telling them these things now? Well, according to verse 29 on your sheet, and now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it came to pass, ye might believe. And I make this statement, fulfilled prophecy is a faith builder. As you watch and see prophecy being fulfilled again and again in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it ought to give you a stronger faith in the Word of God. Because when it's said, it comes to pass. What does Jesus say is going to happen hereafter? Hereafter, he says, I will not talk much with you. And why would Jesus' conversation with his disciples be limited? For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. In other words, there's a great battle at the cross that is about to begin. And I mentioned that because this is right shortly when Judas is coming to give him the kiss. And we're talking about Satan, through Judas, was bringing Jesus' enemies to take him away, to be crucified. There wasn't going to be any conversation with them. This conversation is about to end when we get here to this great prayer in John 17, and with Judas coming. There will be no more conversation. But it was not for his sin, because he mentions there, and hath nothing in me. All the prince is coming. He's going to try to accuse me, but there's nothing in me. There's no sin in me. But for the sins of the whole world was why he was dying. And why would Jesus submit himself to be crucified for the sins of the world? Well, he says, but that the world may know, watch this, I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. Okay, wait a minute. He was going to do all this that the world could know that he what? That he loved who? Loved the Father. And how would he demonstrate that he loved his Father? He obeyed. Kept the word. Jesus doesn't say, okay, go out and do this. Yeah, you go do what I don't want to do. No, Jesus says, you come and follow me. As I have loved the Father, as evidenced by my obedience to the Father, you obey God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by your obedience to them. Well, and if you got any doubt about that, you can see that pretty easy. I'll just flip back to John chapter 12, give you one reference. John 12, verse 49, he says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And then John 10 says this. John 10, 18 says it like this. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Well, he would do what his Father told him to do. And invites us to do likewise. Well, quickly here, what did we learn about our triune God in these verses? Anything? What's that again? There's always a plan. Yep. And what did we learn about our God concerning wanting to comfort us? Did we learn anything about our God wanting to comfort us here?
Yeah, he loves us. He wants a relationship because of our sin. We couldn't have that relationship, so he sent Jesus for us.
Amen.
So we have that relationship.
Amen.
Jesus had to come to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we can have that loving relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. And we see in this passage that our triune God is desires us to experience comfort. And because Christ is praying, the Father would send, the Father sends, the Holy Spirit comes, abides within us, giving us not only life everlasting, but with the disciples, then giving them wisdom, understanding of his word. And we can be very thankful, not only has the Lord blessed us with life everlasting, but the Lord has also blessed us with the ability to understand his will for our life as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And the one who helps us in that matter is the Holy Spirit. Now, anything else? Did we learn anything about mankind?
Still have doubts.
All right, we still have doubts. What else did we learn about mankind? We learned in this aspect, mankind mankind can, general mankind, the unsaved mankind cannot what? Well, they can't receive the Spirit because the Spirit is given to those to whom the Lord has, you know, quickened. And those the Lord has quickened will receive the Spirit of God, and thereby they will be able to understand the things of God and embrace Him as a Lord and Savior. Now, we read this. This is a very informative passage that we looked at today concerning the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Bonnie Lou. But let me ask you this. How might these verses change our behavior? You know, we read them. How are they going to change our behavior? Say that. All right. Okay. When we read down through here and we recognize and see how much God loves us and we understand how we can demonstrate our love towards Him, then we can easily say, you know what, I because God so loved me that He sent His only begotten Son, I'm going to demonstrate my love towards Him by obeying His commandments. All right, well, let's thank the Lord for this day. Heavenly Father, we are extremely thankful for Your great love for us and sending Your Son and sending the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are praising You. We're thanking You for how You have empowered us to live forever and ever with You in the heavenly abode. How You have blessed us with the ability to live victorious Christian lives by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, I pray, dear God, to more and more walking in the Spirit and less to walk in the flesh. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.